Oma Gyana Timirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Shrestham Manamapi Shachiputra Matra Swarupam Rupam Tasyagrajam Urupuring Maturim Goshtavatim Radha Kundam Girivaramaho Radhika Madhavasham Prapto Yasya Pratita Kripaya Shri Gurum Tam Natosmi Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Atav Pada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagarna Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagarna Lalita Shivishakan Vitamscha Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Continuing discussing the grave, not very happy subject of disciples not following vows. Not a very happy subject, but something that requires examination. In the last session, I was talking about devotees who are called fringes. That means they're at the fringe. They're not in the heart of Krishna consciousness. They're not fully in, away from devotional service. They're not fully into it either. They're living in both worlds. Now, as long as anyone doesn't leave, then it makes it more difficult. But when one leaves, then that sets a precedent for others. You think, well, he can leave, I could leave also. And when it becomes a critical mass, when it becomes a large number, and maybe even as in the Western countries is common, you'll find in cities that the number of devotees who are committed and living in the temple is much less than those who are living outside. And those who are living outside, they're practicing at various degrees of seriousness. And in fact, in the temples, those who are living in the temple, if we take that living in the temple to be the sign of being serious, well, not necessarily, because in the Western countries, many devotees are paid. The story I heard some years ago in London, the pujari, naturally on Janmashtami, the pujaris are busy all day and into the night. And then afterwards, he approached the temple president for overtime. He's worshipping with such love. I was speaking about how, well, it's good we've recognized our congregation that not everyone's at the same level, but there can be and often is tension between those who are very seriously trying to practice. And of course, it doesn't necessarily mean that those who are not living in the temple aren't seriously practicing. But we'll just for simplicity at this point, and it used to be like that in the Western world, that who was living in the temple was at least going through the motions of seriously practicing. And those who are outside, well, they're not able to have full-time service to Krishna because of various material responsibilities and necessities, which is one reason why everyone was encouraged to move into... Well, that was the main reason everyone was encouraged to move into the temple. But they had the problem of people who are ex-devotees who were living in the temple previously, and now their hair has grown, their dress style has changed, and their attitude has changed. Not to be inimical to devotional service, but just by being present, they give a message that, well, you don't have to live in the temple, and you don't have to practice so seriously. And they might actually say that to the devotees. They may say to them, or even if someone wants to join, they may tell them, don't join. That goes on up to the present day. They say, just you can practice at home. And why be so intense? Just be realistic. You're not a pure devotee. You practice Krishna consciousness at the level which is suitable for you. Be natural. Don't imitate pure devotees. Act on the level you're at. But the problem is that if we act on the level that we're at, we never come to a higher level. We can't rise above it. Therefore, we accept the process of sadhana bhakti. In sadhana bhakti, we may not be spontaneously rising early in the morning, chanting a minimum 16 rounds a day, but we do it. It's not that we're imitating devotees who are spontaneously doing that and very happily doing that. But we're accepting that we're on a lower level, but by following this process given by Krishna, given by the Shastras, given by the Acharyas, we will improve. Therefore, there are vows. if we don't follow, then we don't improve. Now, if we're just going to be natural, then that's like being an animal, isn't it? How natural do you want to be? Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, we find in chapter 12, Krishna gives different levels that you can practice on. He says, always think of me and love and serve me. If you can't do that, follow the principles of Bhakti Yoga. If you can't do that, do this. If you can't do that. But what he really wants is Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraja. He allows there are different levels, but he doesn't say that it's all the same. He says, I'm speaking this to you, Arjuna, because you're my devotee and my friend. It's really meant for bringing people up to that level of bringing people up to the level of Arjuna. Otherwise, we often find that someone, due to insincerity, if there's a little exception, they'll take that to be the rule. I've often given this example, that Srila Prabhupada said that his father was a pure devotee, and that he used to rise a little late every day. He also said that I used to wake up in the night and hear ding, ding, ding. He was doing puja in the night. Then he'd wake up late. And so when I was saying to a godbrother once that you should get up for Mangalarti, he said, well, Prabhupada's father rose late. He was a pure devotee. But Srila Prabhupada told us to rise early. You're not a pure devotee. We shouldn't try to take advantage. There are so many ways to try to take advantage, to somehow or other be in Maya and also be in devotional service. Special mercy. I don't have to follow all these things because I get special mercy. But the real symptom of special mercy is that you follow everything very seriously, that you have the conviction to do so. It's not special mercy to be in Maya. Anyway, we could be accused of hypocrisy, we take these vows, but we're struggling with them, and we're preaching, but we ourselves may be struggling with them. And we may be preaching, yeah, you should follow this. You will get to the highest level. And you say, well, why did that one leave? And why did that one leave? And why did that one leave? Is that hypocrisy? Hypocrisy means when what someone says or should be done properly and they don't do it themselves. That's hypocrisy. Just recently I was given a link to some video of a Russian sannyasi practicing martial arts with his danda. I didn't watch it, but anyway, you get the idea. I got the idea. I didn't want to watch it. And there were comments mostly from Sri Vaishnavas and some ayahs and this and that. Later it came out it wasn't an ISKCON member, but they were very critical of ISKCON, saying, you see these monkeys, they call themselves brahmanas, but how can they be brahmanas? Well, I would say in response. I didn't say anything in response. But actually, most ISKCON members do practice seriously compared to Sri Vaishnava, those who identify themselves as Sri Vaishnavas. And most brahmanas by birth, they don't even do their... They may be very proud of being a brahmana, but they don't do their sandhya vandanam. Did you ever do it? Ever? You did for some time. For 1 or 2 years after.
When I came to 10th standard, public exam, I stopped.
When you came to the 10th standard, you stopped. What about you? For 2 or 3 years you did it. Was your father pushing you to do that?
Not really.
You just did it out of your own volition. Yourself?
No, they pushed me.
They pushed you to do it. And we have any other born Brahmins? What about you? You had Upanayanam at the age of 12 years, which is too late anyway, but then?
Doing sandhyavandanam for some years.
Did it for some years and then you dropped it. And you're a generation in the past. Anyway, you get the idea. And even what they call sandhyavandanam is just chanting Gayatri in most cases. The whole thing it's quite a procedure. You may not blame them too much because although Muslims can do their namaz at work, but they're allowed to. But Brahmins, if they want to do sandhya vandanam in the middle of work, they won't be allowed to. Unfortunately, many of those who take pride in being Brahmanas by birth, they drink alcohol. Maybe eat meat. I'm not going to ask you, but I suspect that most brahmanas at some point have tried it out. If then. We don't know what's going on with the internet. Porn! Anyway, I don't want to get on the case of anyone here because... As you all know, I have very high regard for those members of the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, or the Madhva Sampradaya, or even for these smartas and Shankara Sampradaya who are actually seriously following. And so I made a little comment here, I wrote here. Let us not despise the many for the faults of a few. And let us support whoever in these dark days sincerely tries to serve the Lord, irrespective of their background. So that's one consideration. As someone, they may not be following very strictly, but they come to the temple and they chant in kirtan and they join in festivals. So on the one hand, we should be appreciative of that. It's just like another example I often give. If we say to someone, they've just been coming to the temple, they've been coming two or three times, and we ask them, are you chanting on beads? Yeah, I'm chanting two rounds every day. Oh, very good. And then we ask someone who's an initiated devotee, are you chanting 16 rounds? No, only two rounds. Very bad. You're supposed to be chanting 16 rounds. So what is acceptable? Well, for one who's taken a vow, it has to be 16 rounds. And then we hear the idea, and I've heard this in Russia, that some gurus say that, well, if you can't chant 16 rounds properly, it's better to chant 8 rounds with concentration. If you can chant 8 rounds with concentration, you can chant 16 rounds with concentration. I don't know if anyone's chanting one round with concentration. But how can they do that? When they accepted the vow, this is to initiated devotees, they're telling that. If they took the vow of 16 rounds, how can they, and they're deputed by Srila Prabhupada to do that, how can they arbitrarily just change it? When Srila Prabhupada was asked about this, he says, first comes quantity, then comes quality. When he was asked about, well, is it better to chant quality rounds or a few or quantity, or is it better to chant one? I can't remember exactly, but there was he was talking about chanting rounds, and Prabhupada said, first quantity, you do 16 rounds. Because if you have the tendency to, when I chant so many rounds, I can't concentrate. Then how are you going to concentrate if you chant one? When does this? Is it all of a sudden after 4 rounds or 8 rounds, all of a sudden, dung, the concentration goes off? Is it like that? It's a practice. That's the whole point. It's sadhana. We should chant more if possible, not less. We may say we're chanting namabhas. Well, our whole bhakti, it could be called bhaktiabhas. We're not fully there, but we're not fully in the dark either. That example is given, abhas. It's not full, but it's somewhat. Just like in during the time of dawn, it's not fully light, but it's somewhat. We can't fully properly see everything, but we can begin to see things to some extent. So in the same way, in practicing devotional service, we're not fully there, but we are not fully in the darkness either. And we have the confidence that if we stay on the path, that we will come fully into the light. Now, if we see the commentaries on the Gita, it may not even be Vaishnava commentaries, but the commentators, they make that because Krishna is talking about karma and jnana and yoga and bhakti. And Krishna says that yajna danam tapaha, this sacrifice, charity and austerities, they should not be given up. So this sacrifice, austerities, charity, this all falls in the category, generally considered in the category of punya karma, or acting according to dharma. And bhakti is ultimately beyond the platform of dharma. Krishna says, sarvadhaman parityajya mamekam sharanam raja. So it's beyond the platform of pious or sinful activities. However, the acharyas say that it's necessary to act according to dharma. It's not just to save us from sinful activities, and it's not just so we can go to the heavenly planets, but that purifies our intelligence so that we can gradually understand the Atmagyan, or the knowledge of the self, which is the purpose of the whole process of karma. Sarva kama kelam parta gyane parisamapyate. All the Krishna says in the Gita that all the activities of karma, they ultimately result in jnana. And atma jnana, that begins with understanding we're not the body. And when we understand we're not the body, then we understand that I'm suffering because of this attachment to the body. So this leads to spiritual knowledge. Karma, that's supposed to lead to spiritual knowledge. If we're still trying to enjoy this material world, then we're not acting on the platform of spiritual knowledge, and this spiritual knowledge can't develop. If we're trying to enjoy this material world, and we're if we're involved in activities to try and to enjoy this material world, then spiritual progress, it won't happen. But the Vedic system is such that there's process is given by which we can enjoy this material world, and at the same time, but it's according to Vedic processes which restrict sinful activities and bring us in contact with brahmanas who perform sacrifices for us, who perform worship for us, and who are supposed to also instruct us, at least in a rudimentary way. Yeah, we're supposed to hear, and then we're offering. In, the offering's going into the fire. Om Narayanaya Namaha. Idam Narayanaya Namama. This is for Narayana, not for me. And we're supposed to come to the point by the intention of the Vedic rituals and following dharma is to bring us to the point of understanding that all these activities, because we'll learn, we'll go to heaven. Why you perform? You perform the sacrifice. Then you go to heaven. Then you'll fall down again. Then you can do sacrifice again. Then you can go up again. But you might make a slip on the way and go down, very far down. But anyway, you can come up and then you can go again. So it's living on the hope of let's go up to heaven. Puna punas charvita charvananam durashe ye bahirata manena. This process is condemned in Shastra. But someone should come to the point of thinking, as Mundaka Upanishad says, and Mundaka Upanishad and Srimad Bhagavatam says, you should come to the point of thinking, what's the use? All I'm living in the world of karma, which forces me to perform austerities if I want to go up, and then again I have to come down again. What's the point of all this? What's adding? I'm just doing more and more karma activities, which give more and more reactions. Then such a person should try to find out why. And how does he find out why? How does he do that? Tad vijnanartham sagurum eva abhigacchat. For the sake of getting that knowledge, one should go to a guru. So that's why we have come and taken vows. Supposed to be. We may not realize what an exalted platform it is to take initiation from a Vaishnava Acharya. Normally, one would have to go through so many levels. Well, that's the beauty of bhakti. Kirata, Hunandra, Pulinda, Pulkasha, Abhira, Shumbha, Yavana, Kasadeya, Yini, Chapapa, Yadapa, Shraya, Shraya, Shuddhanti, Tasmai, Prabhavishnave, Namaha. The most fallen people who are not even eligible for Vedic karmas. They can be purified by a devotee, for someone who has taken shelter of Vishnu. They can be purified. To what level? They can be purified to the level of more than Brahmins and more than Brahmins. But there is a difference in as much, we shouldn't see that there's a difference, but there is a difference in the, in other words, someone's taken up pure devotional service, we should see he's a Vaishnava. He's not Malecha, he's not Yavana, he's not a Shudra, he's a pure Vaishnava. But that foundation of pious activities may not be there. So if they wobble and fall, they fall a long way down again, because that's the background in this life, if they don't become purified from that. So we find that people who come from a more purified background, even if they leave the direct practices of Krishna consciousness, the chanting and rising early for Mangalarti, all these things, even if they leave that, if they come from a background of worshipping Krishna, being a vegetarian, then they'll go on being a vegetarian and worshipping Krishna at some level. Whereas if someone was a Satanist, worshipping Satan, and they were accustomed to drink alcohol and all these things, then they're more likely to fall into that. We don't think of the background, but then when someone slips, then we see. We may not blame. Well, the example is there of Rama Harshan Sutta. He was put on the most exalted position, but then when he didn't live up to it, then it was remembered, his background. You see, he hasn't come up. So we don't want to make a situation in which Srila Prabhupada is blamed for lifting up so many fallen people. And then, as I was saying, these people are blaming and saying, oh, these ISKCON people, they're all monkeys. Well, even Srila Prabhupada himself said that about, you can find in the fifth canto purport, Srila Prabhupada writes about. So I'll read that a little later, Krishna willing. So-called disciples who are like monkeys. It's certainly, just for the sake of anything else, we should, for keeping Srila Prabhupada's good name, we should not act like monkeys. But then, if we don't know anything else, then what are we going to do? So, how do we get out of all this conundrum? Well, we know that Srila Prabhupada, especially in the last few years before he departed from this world, was stressing very much the need to establish Varnashram society. And he said that is to show the world, he said that Vaishnavas are above Varnashram consideration, so devotees should show that to, for the sake of the world, that people can see how to live in according to Varnashram principles. But then he also said that, well, who is a Vaishnava? When his disciples were asking about this, he said, they were asking, well, aren't Vaishnavas above? Who is a Vaishnava, you see? And he gave the example of one sannyasi. He was supposed to be a sannyasi, but he had 12 girlfriends. Prabhupada says, it's not so easy to become a Vaishnava. So the Varnashram is supposed to help us to become steady to place us according to our background. I was talking about some people come from monkey-like backgrounds, some come from more pious backgrounds, but it's Varnashram is supposed to place us in a position suitable to our acquired, means acquired by activities in previous lives. It's supposed to place us in a situation whereby we can act somewhat according to our nature, but with restrictions, and in a manner that we can live in a society of Vaishnavas, and with these two things, which are going on completely intertwinedly, that we're acting according to our level, materially, mentally, and physically, and we're also cultivating Krishna consciousness. So Srila Prabhupada was very much stressing this. He saw that his disciples were having a lot of trouble. So many were going away, even big leaders. He often quoted Varnashram Acharavata Purushena Parapuman Vishnur Aradhyate Panta Nanyatato Shakaranam. The verse from Vishnu Purana, which says that worship of Vishnu should be done via the Varnashram system. There is no other way to satisfy him. This was the first proposal given by Ramananda Rai to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Rai Ramananda about sadhya sadhana tattva, the goal of life and how to attain it. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately rejected eho bahya. This is external. It is external to pure devotional service. But it's there in the Vishnu Purana. So we can't say it's totally bogus. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to know about pure devotional service. Varnashram, following Varnashram Dharma is not in and of itself pure devotional service. But for those of us who are in this external world and we're not fully on the platform of pure devotional service, then Varnashram Dharma is a great help. It's not a total necessity, but it could be said almost so for almost everyone. Srila Prabhupada writes in various places about the real need for Varnashram. He says that the purpose is to turn a crude man into a pure devotee of the Lord, a Vaishnava. You looking that up? Crude man. You can look it up if you like. The purpose of the Varnas, the four Varnas and the Ashrams, is to turn a crude man into a pure devotee of the Lord, a Vaishnava. It's in the early in the Bhagavatam. Just look up crude man. Crude means unprocessed, as in crude oil. So Varnashram processes us. Suppose, just like with crude oil, you take out all the extraneous things until you're left with what's required. Anyway, I more or less quoted it. It's not exactly word for word. What does it say?
The aim of Varnashrama
Dharma
is to turn a crude man into a pure devotee of the Lord or a Vaishnava.
Is to turn a crude man into a pure devotee of the Lord or a Vaishnava. So Varnashram shouldn't be, that's external. It is external when we come to the platform of pure devotee. Or it is external if it's not properly understood, as generally it is misunderstood, even by our own devotees. It is misunderstood. One question, a very important question, I haven't started, I'll discuss that now. At the time of initiation, it appears that most who take initiation are very sure about what they're doing. They say, I will follow. What happens? How does it change? It might seem that we're set up to fail. If most are falling away, then it's like going to war. Charge of the Light Brigade. You don't know what that is. It's famous in British history, in which British troops were told to charge. They were just on horses, and they were told to charge down a valley. On both sides were Russian guns, and at the other end were Russian cannons. So they were all killed, with few exceptions. So it's ours is not to reason why, ours is but to do or die. That's the famous line. That even though they could see, oh, we're told to charge, okay, and then it's just, you're going to die. So it's not that hopeless. No one forces us. No, with few exceptions, no one tries to force an initiate devotee to eat meat or drink wine or have illicit sex or to gamble or not chant 16 rounds a day. So it's not that we're forced to, but what happens? Well, Krishna consciousness is a science. We've often heard Srila Prabhupada say, science, if we follow the process, it should work. And if we don't, then it doesn't work. we may overestimate how advanced we are and not be careful enough. Sangat sanjayate kamaha. Why do we fall down? Because our desire change. Why does our desire change? Because we're by association with that which is not Krishna conscious. Therefore, we have the program of sadhana bhakti, and we're supposed to remain in the association of devotees, and varnashram communities are supposed to keep us in the association of devotees so that we can keep our desires focused on what we're doing, because we are practicing Krishna consciousness in the world, which everything in the world is screaming at us, enjoy. You're here to enjoy this world. So we may lose sight of our initial goal, or we become complacent. We're suffering so much in mature life. Okay, Krishna, I'm surrendered to you. Ah, relief. Now I'm not suffering. Well, there were some good things back there also. Let's have another look. We may not think consciously like that. Oh, it's so hard to concentrate while chanting the holy names. So, what was the name of that girl? Maybe I still have her phone number. And these things happen. Maybe not exactly according to that script. Or I'm preaching to this couple and they're so nice, especially the young woman is so nice. She's having problems with her husband. Maybe I need to give her a little extra special counseling. We can see. Maya doesn't relax. When we think we've broken out of Maya, that means we're just standing up in front of the firing squad and daring them. See, I'm so strong. You can't shoot me. We're up. We're saying I'm very strong. I went to the gym and I got such a strong body. Actually, once Srila Prabhupada, he was asked about martial arts, and Prabhupada said, just I'll get one gun and what's the use of your martial arts? So you may think I'm very strong, but a gun will kill you. However strong your muscles are, they're not strong enough to resist gunfire. So we may overestimate our strength, and then we're in trouble. It may not be that we consciously think, okay, now I'm going to be in Maya, but just Maya is always there in various gross and subtle ways, trying to pull us down. So we should know that sinful activity always destroys our intelligence. We can't indulge in sinful activity and expect to have clear Krishna conscious intelligence. Krishna says, who can engage in Krishna's service with determination? Okay, tell me. Okay, I'll give you the first word, then you'll get it. Yesham. Still didn't get it. Twantagatang papam. Jananam punya karmanam te dvandva moha nirmukta. Bhajante mangrida vrataha. Now they won't come to my classes because I'll call them out anytime. We don't have examinations where you sit down like this, but you may be called at any time to say. So one who has gone finished with sinful activities and who's performing pious activities, whose intelligence, whose consciousness is clear. In other words, he's not thinking in terms, dvandva moha, not thinking in terms of I, me, and mine in relation to this material world. What is that from Charnaka, is it? Ayam nija paro veti, jananam laghu chetasam, udara chetasam. Okay, good. What's the next line? Udara charitananam. The last line is very famous. Vaso dhaiva kutumbakam. One who thinks, this is mine, that's someone else's thing. Someone who thinks like that, laghu cheta, very small or light or not developed intelligence. But one of broad intelligence, he thinks the whole world is my family. He doesn't think of my own personal self-interest. So, sinful activity, one cannot engage in sinful activity and be a pure devotee. It's ananyas cheta satata, ananya cheta satatam, ananyas chinta yantomam. One has to be fully fixed on Krishna. It might not be so many. Manushanam sahasreshu kaschid yatati siddhaya yatatam api siddhanam kaschin mang veti tatvata. Maybe not that many. Then why are we initiating widely? Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was willing to give this to everyone widely. Patra patra vicha nahi nahi sthanas than jejaha pai tare Deo, Prema, Dan, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates, they don't consider who's qualified, who's not qualified, what's a good place, what's a bad place. Whenever they got the opportunity, they distributed pure love of Krishna. But pure love of Krishna means there's no sinful activity. The two things don't go together. Yeah. There's no such thing as vikarma yoga. That I'm sinful, but you're criticizing, I'm chanting also. But real chanting means, O Krishna, please engage me, O energy of Krishna, please engage me in your service. I'll take a break now and then to chew a hamburger. That's not accepted by Krishna. Here's that quote. I was saying about the monkeys, monkey disciples, Srila Prabhupada wrote. This is this in this purport, which I'm going to read. Srila Prabhupada accepts Darwin's theory of evolution. Humans have evolved from monkeys. Please listen. Srila Prabhupada writes, first of all, the conditioned soul is cheated by so-called swamis, yogis, and incarnations when he approaches them to be relieved of material miseries. When the conditioned soul is not satisfied with them, he comes to devotees and pure brahmanas who try to elevate him for final liberation from material bondage. However, the unscrupulous conditioned soul cannot, rigidly follow the principles prohibiting illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, and meat eating. Why can't anyone follow? You have the why you cannot follow. Everyone can, like I said, no one is forcing us to break these rules. Why? Because he's unscrupulous. You know what unscrupulous means? How to say in easy English? That means, yeah, you're just shameless. You could say shameless is a good translation. Another word for that. Unscrupulous. You don't care. Just don't care. I know it's wrong, but I'm going to do it. He cannot rigidly follow the principles. Thus he falls down and takes shelter of people who are like monkeys. In the Krishna consciousness movement, these monkey disciples, being unable to follow the strict regulative principles, sometimes fall down and try to form societies based on sex. This is proof that such people are descendants of monkeys, as confirmed by Darwin. So there you go. It's right in Prabhupada's books. Srila Prabhupada states that some of his disciples, and he gives scientific proof that they are descendants of monkeys. Proof, as confirmed by Darwin. Unscrupulous. Shameless. Don't care. I know it's wrong, but anyway, I'll do it. You would think that people would have a conscience. What is the word for conscience? I don't know if even that word comes in Indian languages or in Sanskrit. Maybe you could say sadvivek, proper discrimination. In the yoga system, that's called the dharmendriya, or the sense. It's interesting because the word indriya means sense. And in English, the word sense has another meaning, just like a sense of justice. It means, in this sense means a certain kind of mental disposition. So here, dharmendriya is used in that sense. A disposition, a mental disposition to understand what is dharma. Just like Yudhishthira, who was the son of Dharma, when he spoke to the troubled Drupada, Drupada said, how can one woman marry five husbands? And then Yudhishthira gave various evidences, and he gave us the topmost evidence. It feels right to me, and I can't think wrong. I know I have such a sense of what is right and wrong, I cannot think what is wrong. So that's also in Manu, when we find the different pramanas for what is right and wrong. The ultimate pramana, there's guru, sadhu, shastra, all these, the ultimate is one's, what in English we call the conscience. But that doesn't mean the conscience of some monkey-like person. That means the consciousness of a shishtachari, or one who is following all proper rules and is sincerely committed to what is right and is knowledgeable in Shastra. It means of a very elevated person, not of just anyone. We shouldn't think, well, it feels right to me, so it must be right. That's true for Yudhishthira, not for everyone. Now, the intelligence may be bewildered, but there's the conscience. Even if someone goes away and they may drink beer or something like that, but then in their heart, somewhere deep down, they're thinking, oh, actually this isn't right. And after some point, it gets the prompting from within. We can say the super soul from within, prompting within. You shouldn't do this. You shouldn't say, oh, why am I doing this? Why am I doing this? And leave it all and come back to devotional service. That doesn't happen for everyone. Most people in the Western world are drinking alcohol, and they never think it's wrong. They never come to think it's wrong. They don't have that background of purity. They don't have the dharmendriya because they don't have any dharma. They don't have any sense of dharma to start off with. But devotees who have practiced seriously, they should have some, even if they go away, they may should have some conscience. I wonder why he's dead now, but one of my godbrothers, he joined the temple full time, but he struggled very much with homosexual tendencies. And he left and went away. But he always felt, I want to be a devotee. I should be a devotee. He always felt, I'm wrong. This is wrong. I shouldn't be doing this. But he just felt overwhelmed by his sinful desires. So he wasn't just, we're going to make a homosexual Vaishnava association and show, yeah, we can be Vaishnavas too. He wasn't preaching that it's right. He knew that it was wrong, but he felt himself not strong enough. Sometimes we find that, again I'm talking about the Western world more it seems, that devotees who have left that strict association or the strict practices, they almost make a point to show that, yeah, I'm doing that. We are doing this, and like they'll put a photo of themselves on Facebook and show it to all their devotees, so-called, with a glass of wine, and shamelessly wife swapping and really, really very degraded activities. But they're just like trying. Yeah, we can do it. Who's going to stop us? We don't care what you say. Just going to the other extreme. Are they devotees? Are they demons? They're trying to say that, yeah, I can still be a devotee. What's the wrong with drinking wine? Who are you? You can't stop me. If I want to drink wine, I'll drink wine. Hare Krishna. I can say Hare Krishna also. But if we listen to the conscience, the conscience will never allow, only the topmost, but that's the meaning of the conscience. Conscience won't say, yeah, it's all right. You can do all these sinful ideas. Yeah, it's not all right. That's why even the intelligence may be bewildered, but the conscience, it pricks us. But then if we see so many others, well, they say he also got divorced and then remarried. And he did, and he did, and he did. And that's what actually happened in our society. If we go to the topic of divorce and remarriage, and Srila Prabhupada didn't like this at all, and it's not at all conducive for advancement in devotional service. But when so many people do it, it becomes just like normal. Just like in what's supposed to be high-class Indian society, there was no question of divorce, but now so many people are doing it, it just becomes normal. In the Western countries, it's absolutely normal. If people even bother to get married, many times they don't. They just live together, husband. And they're not husband and wife, but they just live together. It's a live-in relationship, and it just goes on for years and years, and they never marry. They think, anyway, the idea is that, well, anyway, we'll probably get divorced at some point, so why bother getting married? And the law treats them as married, because if it's, well, I'm not married, so the wife doesn't get 50% of my property, or 90% of my property. Well, you lived together for so many years? Okay, give it to her. So, then. So it becomes something normal, and then we don't feel bad about it. And there's this New Age style of preaching. Don't feel bad about yourself. Just do what you like and don't feel bad about it. You want to leave your family and children? Do it. Don't feel bad about it. Don't have this guilt complex. Well, that guilt complex is required for us to live as elevated human beings. But they don't believe in elevation. You're here once, you die, so enjoy while you can. If other people don't like it, well, that's their problem, isn't it? So don't have a guilt complex. Just do as you like. There's always a good reason. We say, well, just like with divorce, we find, oh, I got divorced. Yeah, but you see, blah, 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 blah. There's always a good reason. Isn't it? You find someone's divorced. We all probably know several cases. If you listen, see, actually, I don't believe in divorce, but you see, okay. But in every case there's a good reason, then why is divorce not allowed? What's the main thing that we as followers of Srila Prabhupada should think is that Srila Prabhupada didn't like it. That should overrule all our reasons. Oh, but he did allow it. There was a case where Srila Prabhupada said he allowed it, and then he explained later, anyway he was going to do it. But if I'd have told him not to, he would have been worse because he would have disobeyed my order. So Srila Prabhupada allowed it, but he didn't like it. Some years ago, I was in Europe, in one center, and Ravindra Swarup Prabhu was giving a talk. In the course of his talk, he was a crowded temple room. It was this Nrsimha temple in Germany on Nrsimha Chaturdashi. So that's a big festival. Devotees come from different parts of Europe. So the whole temple room was crowded. I guess the temple room is about the size of this, completely full. And he happened to mention in the course of the talk that I was married in 1970 or something. I'm still married to the same wife. And cheers! Oh! Very good. Unexpected. Well, at least they were cheering and saying, instead of saying, they might have said, really? You're an unexciting person. Couldn't find anyone else. Poor woman. She had to be married to you all the time. There were cheers because it's so unusual. It's so unexpected. Let me see. It's 9 o'clock and okay, we'll leave it there for now. We always leave it on a bad... Well, there's nothing much good to say about all this, is there? See, I'm making a guilt complex now. Yeah. Make you feel guilty. Yeah, you should feel guilty. We'll finish there for now. Hare Krishna.